This video is brought to you by Incogni. Today, China-Europe relations deteriorate, the US Congress finally passes its massive foreign aid bill, and Israel is yet to provide evidence of links between UN staff and Hamas. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Wednesday, the 24th of April, 2024. China-Europe tensions are leading the headlines again this week, following new reports of Chinese spies in Germany, the Netherlands, and the UK. Separately too, the EU this morning raided the Dutch and Polish offices of a Chinese security equipment supplier in the latest development in a brewing trade war between China and the EU. But let's start with the spying allegations. Yesterday, German media reported that a man named Jian Ji was arrested on suspicion of passing sensitive information about discussions in the EU legislature to China. The man is believed to be an assistant to the MEP Maximilian Krah of the far-right AfD party, and according to prosecutors, he also spied on Chinese opposition figures in Germany. Now, this also comes a day after three German nationals, Herwig F., Ina F., and Thomas R., were arrested on suspicion of spying for the Chinese Secret Service and handing over information about military technologies. For its part, China's foreign ministry has denied all accusations, calling them hype intended to discredit and suppress China. Now, concerns over Chinese spies in Europe aren't entirely new, although European countries have stepped up counter-espionage measures in recent months. The Netherlands intelligence agency said that Chinese-backed cyber spies had hacked into a military network last year. And in 2019, Poland arrested a former intelligence agent and ex-employee of the Chinese tech company Huawei on suspicion of espionage. Similar events are happening here in the UK too, where two men, including a former parliamentary aide, are due to appear in court on Friday, charged with spying for China. Anyway, the Chinese spy threat is just one part of a wider falling out between the EU and China. The other major issue is over trade, with the EU having launched a series of investigations into whether Chinese manufacturers are dumping subsidized goods like electric vehicles into its markets to stoke overcapacity. Today, the EU also launched an investigation into China's medical device market, on the grounds that European manufacturers were being unfairly blocked from supplying doctors and hospitals. Ultimately, we'll have to wait and see whether all these tensions make things a bit awkward when China's President Xi Jinping visits France next month. There's more on the way, but remember to subscribe and ring the bell for more daily briefing tomorrow. Plus, if you want to support the channel like Brett Lemoyne, then consider joining the new TLDR membership program for just $1.99. The United States Congress has, after months of delay, passed a sweeping foreign military aid package worth nearly $100 billion, with the funds earmarked for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and other US partners in the Indo-Pacific. The largest chunk of military aid, which is worth some $61 billion, is for Ukraine, which is in desperate need for new firepower as Russia is on the front foot. The legislation will send $26 billion in military assistance to Israel and humanitarian aid to Gaza. And finally, $8 billion worth of assistance will go towards countering China in Taiwan and the Indo-Pacific. The legislation easily passed the Senate in a bipartisan 79-18 vote on Tuesday, having finally been approved by the House of Representatives following months of seemingly intractable Republican opposition. Republicans hold a majority in the House, but are deeply divided over foreign aid, particularly for Ukraine. The awkward passage through the House was eventually secured, in part due to the addition of a measure that could ban TikTok in the US if its Chinese owners do not sell their stake within a year. In the Senate, 15 Republicans voted against the legislation, largely due to opposition to the Ukraine aid portion, while three members of the Democratic caucus voted against it in opposition to the military aid for Israel. Now, it's been nearly 3 months since Israel accused UNRWA workers of having widespread ties to Hamas, but Israel is yet to prove supporting evidence, according to an independent review commissioned by the UN and led by former French Foreign Minister Catherine Colonna. At the end of January, Israel's intelligence produced a six-page dossier accusing 190 UNRWA employees of being hardened militants, and that overall some 10% of UNRWA's staff, which is around 13,000 in Gaza, were believed to have a general affiliation with Hamas and the Islamic Jihad group. The accusations also extended to UNRWA employees taking part in the October 7th attacks, and the UN dismissed at least 9 workers over the claim. Israel's foreign minister also called on UNRWA's head, Philippe Lazzarini, to resign. Israel's allegations prompted 16 donor countries, including the US and several EU member states, to halt a combined $450 million in UNRWA funding. While some donors, such as the EU, Sweden, and Canada, have resumed contributions to the aid group, many, including the US and UK, have not. Despite the report arguing that UNRWA faced neutrality challenges, such as instances of staff expressing political views, it did not back up Israel's assertions. Both the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, and UNRWA head, Philippe Lazzarini, have accepted the report's findings, whilst Israel's foreign minister rejected it, stating that it ignores the severity of the problem and offers cosmetic solutions that do not deal with the enormous scope of Hamas's infiltration of UNRWA. Over to the Balkans now, where a draft UN resolution on the Srebrenica genocide has ignited anger among nationalist leaders. The resolution submitted last week declares July the 11th to be the International Day of Reflection and Remembrance of the 1995 Srebrenica genocide. It urges the rejection of any attempts to deny the occurrence of the genocide, in which 8,000 Bosniaks were murdered. Modelled from a similar resolution for the Rwandan Tutsis genocide, the document is being spearheaded by Germany, Rwanda, France, the US, Bosnia and Herzegovina, as well as other nations. But it sparked fierce reactions from nationalist leaders. Milorad Dodik, the president of Bosnia's Republika Srpska entity, and Serbian president Aleksandar Vučić. Both pursue the line that what happened in Srebrenica was a terrible tragedy and crime, but refused to name it a genocide. Both were backed by Russia's permanent representative to the UN, Vasily Nebenzi. Vučić also refuses to accept any involvement of the Serbian state and has urged UN members to vote against the resolution, stating that it will not lead to peace or heal the wounds of the past, but lead to new tensions in the Western Balkans. Although inflammatory separatist rhetoric is nothing new, Dodik also said on a visit to Belgrade that Bosnia and Herzegovina may not survive the UN resolution. Dodik also held a rally in Bosnia's Republika Srpska capital, where thousands marched in protest against the resolution, and Bosnian Serb MPs adopted a report denying the genocide. Sarajevo remained relatively quiet over the unfolding drama, and a vote on the resolution is expected on the 2nd of May. And finally, we end with some uplifting news from Dominica, where the Caribbean country's High Court has overturned a ban on same-sex relations, a move that activists say is a significant milestone in the ongoing struggle for LGBTQ rights in the Caribbean. The court ruled that sections 14 and 16 of the 1998 Sexual Offences Act, which criminalised consensual same-sex activity between adults, breached the constitutional right to liberty, freedom of expression, and protection of personal privacy. Dominica has therefore become the latest in a series of Anglophone Caribbean nations to repeal such laws, which often were first imposed during the colonial era. Whilst you've been watching this video, you might not realise that shady forces are in the background trying to collect your personal data from various sites, bundle it together, and sell it to a third party. These data brokers can then sell your information to anyone, from a criminal to an online company. Now, you might assume that you're always safe online. Perhaps you regularly change your password or even unsubscribe from annoying email newsletters that you never even remember signing up for. Unfortunately, this doesn't always save you, and companies that hold your data can still fall victim to a data breach, meaning that these data brokers can still compile all of your information and sell it onto others. The good news is you have the right to protect your privacy and request that the data brokers delete your personal information. But the bad news is that it would take you years to do it manually, and even then you'd need to repeat the process every few months as data brokers continue collecting your data. Luckily, this is where our sponsor Incogni comes in. Incogni reaches out to these data brokers on your behalf, requests that your data is removed, and deals with any problems that might arise. What's more, Incogni is persistent and will put in multiple data removal requests even after your data has been removed to make sure it doesn't go back on the market. So create an account with our link in the description. Grant Incogni the ability to work on your behalf and sit back as they make you safer. Plus, by using our link, you'll get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Thanks for checking it out, and thanks to Incogni for sponsoring this video.